Welcome to Common Salvation, the sermons and other thoughts of Pastor Philip Hoppe, a pastor in the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. This sermon was preached October 7th and 8th at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Hoxie, Kansas, and Trinity Lutheran Church in Colby, Kansas. The text was Matthew chapter 21, verses 33 to 46. Let's listen in. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In our churches on Good Friday, we follow a service called the Chief Service. In it, on that holy day, we hear what is often called the reproaches. It's an ancient exchange between God and his people. The church has used it in worship for hundreds, if not thousands, of years. Its function is to get us to understand that the death of Jesus, which we meditate upon that night, is not only the fault of the Jews or the Romans, but most importantly for our consideration, is our fault, and most tragically so. In the final verse of this short exchange, God says to us, "What have I done to you, O my people, and wherein have I offended you? Answer me, what more could I have done for my vineyard than I have done for it? When I looked for good grapes, why did it yield only bad? My people, is this how you thank your God? O my people." This is the charge that we see Jesus lodging against the religious Jewish leaders of his day in the reading we just heard. Jesus echoes all sorts of Old Testament language where God speaks of his kingdom on earth as a vineyard. That language that speaks about Israel as a vineyard that God builds and places managers over. Yes, God speaks about how much he has done for that vineyard, and he speaks then about how poorly he has been repaid in thankfulness for his goodness. He threatens and later allows that vineyard then to be overrun. He removes every protection that he had built in it. Yes, in the parable for today, Jesus lays out a brief history of how those who had been charged to watch over his vineyard have repaid his goodness. He speaks in this parable about their poor management in terms of their response to the one whom the master sends to receive the fruit from his vineyard. In their selfishness, they have refused to turn over the fruit of the vineyard to the ones God sends, choosing them to mistreat them horribly rather than to give them what they had come to gather. Jesus speaks about the many times the prophets of God had been sent and then had been mistreated. But then he turns from speaking about the past to prophesying about what was happening right then and what was soon to happen. Yes, he says the master of the vineyard would send his son looking for fruit as well, but the masters of the vineyard would kill him, claiming ownership of the vineyard for themselves. Can't you imagine the master of the vineyard crying out in that tragic moment, "My people, is this how you thank your God, O my people?" Yes, those miserable wretches were told that they would be kicked out of the vineyard, brought to an end, just like the Old Testament people had been driven out of the Holy Land after their constant rebellion. He assures them that while he is long-suffering and unmeasurably patient, there does come a day when he punishes the wicked. He removes the wicked from their appointed roles and places new people in their place who will give them the fruit that is his. When Jesus gives this parable, he is telling the Pharisees and the religious leaders that they will soon be removed and that new people, namely the apostles, will be given management over the vineyard. This is what would happen after those leaders would drag the son of the vineyard outside of the vineyard and kill him. The Pharisees who heard this understood exactly what Jesus was saying, but did not like it. They wanted to retaliate, but were afraid of the people. I suppose this text might be most ideally preached to a group of preachers, the ones whom God has given oversight of his vineyard in our day. This text reminds such preachers that they have a holy responsibility to watch over and to tend the vineyard of God. They are reminded that they are to turn over the fruit it produces in thanksgiving to God rather than claiming it as their own harvest. But alas, most of you listening are not preachers. So what does this text have to do with you? Well, all of you who believe have been given a place in this vineyard. And so the question for you is slightly different, but not altogether different. The question still is this: what fruit are you producing and offering to God in thankfulness? Is it good, perfect grapes that burst in the mouth with divine flavor, or is it sour grapes that only serve to make the face pucker? This parable plainly reveals the absolute tragedy of what God has done for his people and how they have responded. It also speaks very plainly about the fact that while God is long-suffering, he does at times now, and certainly will at the end of time, execute justice upon all of those who refuse to produce or offer fruit to him. You see, when we sin and we produce sour grapes, we often like to claim that that is just to be expected because we, after all, are sinners. But this parable actually points out something that makes the situation even more tragic. It actually suggests that we sin in spite of the fact that God has made us saints, holy ones cleansed of sin and filled with the Holy Spirit. We sin despite the fact that God has placed us in his vineyard of the Holy Christian Church and has done everything for that vineyard. What more could he have done for this vineyard? And yet, still we sin, and even more sadly, we sin and think little of it. God expects sin from those outside the vineyard, though he is of course still grieved by it. But from those inside he expects fruit, since he has done everything necessary and then more for his vineyard and those who live in it. And so there is a warning for all of us today. If we refuse to produce fruit and offer it to God in thanksgiving, he may well remove us from the vineyard as well. He certainly does not desire to do this, but if we do not listen to the prophets, the apostles, and to Jesus when he sends them to us in his holy word, we should expect nothing less, for God can surely find others who will produce fruit and offer it to him in thanksgiving. Today, let us admit how tragic it is when the people of God let sin grow in their lives, when we ourselves do this. Let us ask for his grace, knowing that he has promised to give it to us for the sake of his Son and his work on the cross. Yes, he will give to us that grace, even today. He will restore us to our proper place in his vineyard. He will make us into vines which produce many gorgeous grapes. Then we, like Paul, can press on. We can press on because Jesus has made us his own. We can forget what lies behind, and we can strain towards what lies ahead. Oh, certainly, as we hear this parable, we don't ultimately rejoice that the Pharisees and the others who rejected the cornerstone Jesus were put to a wretched death for their wretchedness. But we do rejoice that the apostles were granted management of this vineyard. We rejoice that we have been given a place there in that vineyard under their care and pruning. We rejoice to know the apostolic teaching about Jesus and from Jesus in the Scriptures. We rejoice that God has done everything for us. He gave up his Son to a wretched death outside of the vineyard. He established his New Testament church as his holy vineyard. He brought us into that vineyard through baptism, and he continues to care for us there in word and sacrament. Yes, he has done everything for us and his vineyard. Because of him, because of his care and grace, we produce good fruit. We get to offer that up to him as our sacrifice of thanksgiving for all he has done for us in Christ Jesus. Do you understand the tragedy it is for a perfect vineyard given every care and attention by its owner to produce sour grapes? Do you understand that when we walk in sin, we bring that tragedy to life? Thanks be to God that he is long-suffering with us. But we must also know that he will not be forever patient with us if we continue to walk in sin without repentance. So let us repent of our sour grapes this day. Let us be reconnected this very day to Jesus as we hear his words of forgiveness. For today, he will do everything for us. There will be nothing else left that he could do for you. Your given place in his vineyard is just perfect in every way. And so you will produce fruit. Offer it to him in thanksgiving. Amen.